Welcome to the Deep Dive. This deep dive is supported by SafeServer. They specialize in hosting software and helping out with digital transformation. So if you're curious about how they might be able to help you, just head over to www.safeserver.de for more info. All right, let's get into it. Have you ever been away from your main computer, maybe using a tablet or someone else's laptop?
Oh, definitely. Happens all the time.
And you just wish you could access your email with, like, all the power and features of your usual program, but just right there in a web browser.
Yeah, like opening a website, but it actually feels like a proper application you're using.
Exactly. Because, let's be honest, sometimes the webmail you get from the big providers feels a bit basic.
Can, yeah. Or maybe you're looking for something you have a bit more control over, perhaps something you host yourself or through a specific provider.
Right. And that whole idea is exactly what led us to today's topic, RoundCube webmail.
We've been looking through the source material descriptions, the tech details, community buzz, all of it, trying to piece together what RoundCube really is.
So our mission here is to unpack all that. We want to figure out, you know, what makes RoundCube stand out? Who's it really for? Especially if you're maybe new to this world of webmail clients or self-hosting, we'll try and make it really easy to grasp.
Okay, sounds good. So first things first. For someone hearing the name RoundCube for the first time, what is it at its core?
Okay, the fundamental description we found is this. RoundCube webmail is a browser-based multilingual IMP client.
Let's break that down. Browser-based, that's probably the easiest bit, right?
Yeah, it just means you don't download and install an app like Outlook or Thunderbird.
Right, you just open Chrome or Firefox or Safari, whatever browser you use.
And you go to a web address, a URL where RoundCube is running, and boom, your email's right there in the browser tab.
Like logging into any other website, basically. But instead of news or shopping, it's your inbox. It lives on a server somewhere, not on your actual computer.
Exactly. And that ties into the next part, this application-like user interface they talk about.
Yeah, that's a big selling point, I think. It means it's designed to feel more interactive, more responsive than maybe older webmail you've seen.
Less like a clinky old web page, more like, say, Google Docs or a modern online tool.
Precisely. You can drag and drop things, stuff updates quickly without reloading the whole page.
Yeah.
It just feels snappier. More like a dedicated program.
So you get the web convenience access anywhere, but with a user experience that feels more like a desktop app.
That's the goal. Yeah. Trying to bridge that gap.
Like,
now, the other part you mentioned was IMAP client. That sounds a bit technical.
It does, but the concept is pretty important for how it works. Think of IMAP as like the communication standards servers and email apps use.
Okay.
An IMAP client, like RoundCube, doesn't just pull your emails down to your device and delete them from the server. Instead, it connects to the server and manages the emails right there on the server itself.
Ah, okay. So if I use RoundCube in my browser to read an email or move it to a folder,
that change happens on the server immediately.
Gotcha. So that if I check my email later on my phone using a totally different app.
Yeah.
As long as it also uses IMAP.
It'll see the email exactly as you left it in RoundCube. Read, unread, in the right folder. Everything stays perfectly in sync.
Because the server is the single source of truth. That's huge if you use multiple devices, which most of us do.
Definitely. Okay, so we have this browser-based thing, feels like an app, keeps everything synced via IMAP. What can you actually do with it? What are the basic expected features?
Well, it covers the essentials. You know, the things you absolutely need. It handles different kinds of emails with attachments, images, fancy formatting. That's called MIME support, technically.
Right.
It's got an address book for your contacts,
mm-hmm.
folder management, making folders, moving emails around, deleting stuff.
You search for messages?
Yep. Message searching is in there. And still checking, too, which is always handy.
Okay. So it's definitely got the basics covered. It's not just a simple viewer.
No, not at all. It provides that solid foundation you'd expect from any decent email client.
But as we found, it goes quite a bit further than just the basics. This is where it gets interesting. What were some of those extra features that stood out?
Well, one thing that really feels application-like is the drag-and-drop message management.
Ah, so you can literally just click an email and drag it into a folder on the screen.
Exactly. Just like moving files around on your desktop. It makes organizing feel really intuitive and quick.
Nice. What else?
Full support for HTML messages is key. You know, so emails with logos, formatting, images, they actually look how the sender intended.
Oh, yeah. Broken emails are the worst.
Definitely. And then there's multiple sender identities. This is super useful if you manage a few different email addresses or aliases through one main account.
Like a work address and a personal one, or maybe a specific project email.
Right. You can choose which address to send from when you compose a reply without needing separate logins. Big convenience.
That is handy. What about managing contacts?
The address book is pretty robust. You can put contacts into groups, and it has this find as you type thing. Start typing a name in the to field.
And it suggests contacts instantly.
Yep. Pulls them right from your address book. Saves a lot of time looking people up. It can connect to things like corporate LDAP directories. But for most people, the built-in address book is powerful enough.
And keeping track of conversations, sometimes emails get messy.
It offers threaded message listing. So replies get grouped together with the original message, visually. Makes following a conversation thread much easier.
Good, good. What about using it on different devices, phones, tablets?
That's covered too. It has responsive skin. That means the layout automatically adjusts to fit the screen size you're using, desktop, tablet, phone. It's built for multi-device use.
That's pretty much essential these days, isn't it?
Absolutely. And there are also features that are maybe more useful for teams or small organizations.
Ooh, we, like what?
Things like support for shared or global IMAP folders. Imagine like a team inbox, support at buck, or info at that multiple people need access to.
Okay, yep.
And it supports something called access control lists, or ACLs. That basically lets an administrator control who can do what with those shared folders, who can read, who can delete, etc. So, good for collaboration.
So, features for individuals and for groups? Anything else notable?
Well, for performance, it has built-in caching. This helps make accessing your mailbox feel faster, especially if you have tons of emails. Folders load quicker.
Makes sense. Little things that improve the feel.
Yeah. And practical stuff like import and export functions for contacts, maybe settings. Useful sometimes.
And what about security? Anything built in?
It mentions protection against common web attacks like cross-site scripting, XSS.
Yeah.
That's important for anything running in a browser.
Definitely.
And it also has built-in support for PGP encryption. So if you're into sending more secure private emails, the tools are there to integrate with PGP.
Wow. Okay, so it really does pack a lot in. It sounds like it genuinely aims for that full-featured application-like experience we mentioned at the start.
It really seems to, yes.
Now, let's peek under the hood just a little bit, keeping it simple for beginners. What kind of tech does this actually run on?
Okay, so RoundCube itself is software. It needs to be installed on a web server. Think of a web server as just a computer that's set up to deliver web pages and run web applications.
Got it. Server software.
And it's mainly written in PHP, which is a common language for web stuff on the server side, and JavaScript, which helps make the interface in your browser interactive.
Okay, PHP and JavaScript running on a web server. Does it need anything else to work?
Yes. It needs a database. Something like MariaDB, MySQL, PostgreSQL, even Scryit for simpler setups.
A database. But I thought the emails stayed on the IMAP server.
They do. That's a great point. The database isn't for storing the emails themselves. It's more like RoundCube's own little notebook. It uses the database to keep track of things like your address book contacts, your personal settings for RoundCube, maybe data used by add-ons, that kind of operational info.
Okay. So server plus database for its own stuff. You mentioned add-ons. How flexible is it, really? Can you change things?
That's one of the really powerful aspects, tied to it being open source. RoundCube has what's called a plug-in API.
API, like a toolkit for developers.
Exactly. It's a defined way for other people to write plugins, little extra pieces of software that add new features or change how existing ones work without having to modify the main RoundCube code.
So if you need some specific integration or a feature RoundCube doesn't have out of the box,
there might already be a plugin for it, or someone with the skills could potentially build one. It makes it really extendable.
That sounds very flexible.
And it's similar with the look and feel. The user interface uses skins. You can completely change how RoundCube looks. Colors, layout, logos by installing different skins, or even creating your own. Again, without messing with the core software.
So powerful, flexible, customizable. And another huge piece we found, it's free and open source software. What does that actually mean for someone thinking about using it?
Well, free is the obvious part. You don't pay a license fee to use it. But open source is arguably more significant. It means the actual source code, the programming instructions.
The recipe for the software.
Kind of, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That recipe is public. Anyone can look at it, study it, see exactly how it works.
Total transparency.
Right. And the license, it uses the GNU General Public License, or GPL version 3, gives you specific freedoms. You can use the software however you want, share it with others, and even modify the code yourself.
And you mentioned something about plugins and skins having slightly different rules.
Yeah, there's a detail in the license that basically makes it easier for people to create and distribute plugins and skins without those specific add-ons having to be under the full GPL license themselves. It just encourages more third-party development, building an ecosystem around RoundCube.
Makes sense. And because it's open source, it's not made by just one company, is it?
No, typically not. It's usually developed by a community of volunteers and contributors from all over the place.
Speaking of the community, how active is it? We saw some numbers, like on GitHub.
Yeah, GitHub is where the project lives online. And the numbers look pretty healthy. It's got, what, over 6,000 stars? Mm-hmm. Which is like a thumbs up or a bookmark from other developers.
Okay.
Over 1,700 forks people making their own copies, often to work on changes, and nearly 300 listed contributors. That's a fair number of people who've actually chipped in code or documentation over time.
That does sound like a pretty active project. Yeah. So if you're using RoundCube and you run into trouble, or maybe you want to suggest something, where do you go?
There are official channels. They use GitHub's issue tracker for bugs and feature requests. There are mailing lists for discussions and getting help from other users or developers. And they even list a direct contact email for the project admin.
So ways to get support and engage. Is it still being actively developed? Like, are new versions coming out?
Oh, definitely. Very active. We saw over 100 releases listed historically. And the latest version, 1.6.0, was just released in February 2025. That's super recent.
Wow, okay.
And their news section talks about recent security updates, new features, even things like official enterprise support options becoming available last year. All strong signs it's being actively maintained and improved.
That's really reassuring if you're thinking of relying on it. Now, a really important point for beginners, especially if they're thinking of trying to install it themselves, we saw a specific warning.
Yes. Crucial point. Right in the installation guide, there's a big attention note.
What does it say?
It warns you not to just grab the latest code directly from the Git repository that's the live development version. That version is not considered stable.
So the code developers are working on right now isn't safe for everyday use.
Exactly. The warning says explicitly, don't use the Git snapshot to replace your current setup or for production use, meaning for your real important email. It's unstable, potentially buggy. It's meant for developers testing things out.
Okay, so how should someone get RoundCube if they want to install a reliable version?
You should always download the official stable release packages from the RoundCube website's download page, and then follow the install instructions carefully for a new setup, or the UP training guide if you're updating an older stable version.
And what if you are curious and want to peek at that cutting-edge development version?
The advice is very clear. Install it using a completely separate database. Don't let it touch the database your stable RoundCube uses, or any other important data. Keep it isolated to avoid any problems.
Right, that makes perfect sense. Safety first, especially when you're learning. Okay, so bringing all this together, who is RoundCube really ideal for, based on everything?
Well, it seems like a great fit if you want that browser-based convenience, but you crave an interface that feels more like a real application, mm-hmm. You know, responsive with drag and drop, that kind of thing.
Someone who wants more than basic webmail.
Exactly. Also, if you need those specific features like managing multiple sender addresses easily, or you want a good address book, or maybe you're interested in the potential for adding extra features through plugins later on.
And the open source aspect.
If you value open source software, the transparency, the lack of vendor lock-in, the community aspect, or if you specifically want the control that comes with hosting it yourself, or choosing a provider who offers this kind of open source solution.
So control and customization seem key.
I think so. It also looks good for organizations that need a solid, customizable webmail front end for their users, maybe needing those shared folder features or administrative controls.
It really does sound like it hits a sweet spot for people wanting power and accessibility, maybe outside the mainstream giants.
One last thing, another important warning we saw on their download page.
Oh, what's that?
They mentioned that sometimes scam or phishing emails go around pretending to be from RoundCube webmail. This isn't the flaw in RoundCube itself. It's just scammers using the name.
Ah, like those fake bank emails or delivery notices.
Exactly. So they advise everyone to be aware and learn how to spot and protect themselves from phishing scams, regardless of what email software they use.
That's a really good general security reminder for everyone. Always be skeptical of unexpected emails asking for info or clicks. Okay, so we've really dug into Roundcube Webmail today. We've seen it's this browser-based iMac client aiming for an application feel.
Right, accessible from anywhere, keeping your mail synced up.
We looked at the solid foundation of basic features, but also that long list of more advanced capabilities, drag and drop, HTML support, multiple identities, PGP, plugins.
Lots of power under the hood. We touched on the tech needs a server, a database, but also how flexible it is with plugins and skins.
And we highlighted that it's free, open source, with an active community behind it.
Yeah, it definitely comes across as a mature, feature-rich option if you want web-based email with more control, especially if you lean towards open source or self-hosting.
So if listening to this has made you curious about Roundcube, a good next step might be to check out their website or their GitHub page.
Yeah, you can usually find screenshots there, see what that application-like interface actually looks like, or dig deeper into specific features or how to install it if you're feeling adventurous.
Seeing it in action can really clarify things. And as we finish up this deep dive, maybe here's something to think about. You know, in a world where huge companies run so many of our essential online services, like email, exploring something like a self-hosted open source option like Roundcube, well, it brings up an interesting question, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How much control do you really want over the fundamental digital tools you rely on every day? Just some food for thought. And remember, this deep dive was made possible with support from SafeServer. If you're thinking about managing software like Roundcube or maybe navigating your broader digital transformation, SafeServer specializes in hosting and providing expertise for exactly those kinds of things. You can find out more at www.safeserver.de. Thanks for joining us for the deep dive.